The British general election is over. So what next? Phelim O'Neill, journalist with the Irish Farmers Journal, is interested in what this Labour government win might mean for Irish producers, particularly smaller scale artisan producers who've been very negatively impacted by Brexit. So Phelim is with us this morning. Good morning, Phelim.
Good morning, Brenda.
Well, is there a little cause for optimism? What do you think?
Oh, I think so. We've had a turbulent period in British politics with Brexit and in the post-Brexit government and how they decided to divorce from the European Union. Now, when it comes to agriculture policy, there isn't very little difference between the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, who are now in power with the huge majority. But there's one, I suppose, small sliver of hope that I think I would see in terms of a future trading relationship with Britain. Earlier this year, after several delays, I think it was five postponements, the UK introduced full border controls. Now, what that means is if you're exporting goods that come from either an animal or a plant origin or indeed a fish origin, then they have to be accompanied by a health certificate and they have to go through border control checkpoints when they're entering Britain. Those weren't there. Those were one of the things that were done away with by the single market and the European Union back in the 1990s. But they were reintroduced again. They were reintroduced, of course, by Ireland and goods coming from Britain on day one back in 2021. But the UK weren't quite ready. They put those controls in place this year. Now, if you're a large meat processor or you're a large dairy co-op and you're sending a 20-ton consignment to a depot, a distribution depot somewhere in Britain, look, it's an irritation, but you manage it. You get one certificate done, you go through one border checkpoint, and that's it. But if you're a small exporter, and say, for example, you have a small niche business and you're exporting cheese or smoked salmon or anything at all, a little bit of speciality food, you're sending maybe 4 or 5 kilo consignments to a customer in Britain, that needs the same type of control process as a 20-ton consignment. And you also then, you're not going to send that, a lorry with that small parcel. You would send that as part of a group load. And that's where the problem arose. Now, Labour Party has said they're not rejoining the single market, all of the Brexit stuff that we have listened to so much of over the years. But what they are open to is doing an agreement with the European Union to cover this area. That was an offer that was on the table during the Brexit negotiations. And I suppose what I'm looking at this week is, if we could get that reopened, or if the Labour Party, the Labour government now would reopen that, then that would be good news for smaller Irish exporters. And it would also, of course, be good news for British importers who have been tortured with these border controls for importing flowers, etc., from the continent.
You know, I'm thinking, if I'm an artisan producer, say, as you said, cheese, let's take cheese, and you've got, you know, every little couple of kilos, you have to get this certification. I mean, so have people actually gone out of business because of this, do you know, Phelim?
Well, it certainly has happened the other way around. I'm not aware of the Irish situation yet, or whether workarounds have been found or not. But certainly I know in Britain, whenever the full border controls came in the other way around at the start of 2021, a large number of small, what you would call micro businesses or artisan or specialty food businesses that had customers all over Europe, they just ceased production because you could no longer find... You have the first problem of getting the certification and the cost of that. You have the second problem then of distributing. Previously, those would have all been packed up on a pallet and there might have been 20 different products on a pallet. And if there's 20 pallets, that's 400 odd products. You cannot practically have those going through a border checkpoint where every one of those is pulled out in a chilled environment. It simply doesn't work. And that business has had to stop in so many cases. So that is where I think there's a chink of light. If it's not going back to where we were and we would have all the customs procedures, etc., still to follow. But if the UK government and the EU get this sorted, then I think that would enable that business to continue or resume indeed if it has been suspended.
Well,
but of course,
Phelim,
that's a long way off because there...
Yeah, sorry, Phelim, just one second. While we're talking about that, we have Birgitta Heading Curtin from Burns Smokehouse in Listunvarna, and she produces organic smoked salmon. And Birgitta, you're here as an artisan producer to chat to us this morning. And you once stocked premium smoked salmon in Harrods and Selfridges and everything. So what impact did these rules and Brexit have on you and your business? And good morning to you, Birgitta.
But good morning. Well, for me and other artisan producers with, you know, potentially sometimes not huge volumes, the cost of all the customs charges, the whole having to do health search, veterinary inspections and so on, has made it prohibitive. You know, a lot of people like myself have stopped doing wholesale business into the UK. We do private mail order. If we keep anything under €150, we can ship over. But it's still onerous. There's a lot of rigmarole around how to export into the UK. And it just make it impossible. You know, you just kind of walk away and say, there's too much administration in this, particularly for small producers, you know, to go through all the different hoops and jump through hoops to get the product over. Plus, of course, we do have a premium product. And if you add on the costs, it's going to make it too costly for the buyer in the UK, and too much work, really. So I just walked away from that business, really, okay, to do wholesale business.
Brigitte, can I ask you, so you walked away from your business there and you were Harrods and Selfridges and all that. With this chinkalite, as Phelim has described there, would you reconsider stocking again in the UK or exporting again to the UK if agreements can be reached on these SPAs?
Absolutely. I mean, it's an important market, and it's a huge market. And it's
I hope
a
so.
Market that wants premium product. So yeah. Absolutely. I think we have all our arts and producers have definitely a place in the UK, and also, you know, both for British people, and also there's a lot of Irish people living in London, all over the UK, and they want to see Irish artisan products over there, but they can't get hold of it.
And look, Phelim, one question, and we heard there Brigitte's comments and her hopes for her business, but this time round, with everything that has happened, it's a bit of a reverse, because the complications may be on the European side.
Yeah, that's the one thing that could be a difficulty. You know, during the negotiation process, this deal was there for the asking, basically. In fact, it was the European Union that put that on the table first, and that would have solved the problems there, like that we've just heard about, or prevented them, I should say, in terms of the veterinary side of it. Anyway, it doesn't deal with the customs part. Since the negotiation, which went on from 2016 to the end of 2020, you know, much has changed in Europe, and much changing in the UK. UK have done trade deals with Australia and New Zealand, which brings and has opened the door for huge swathes of imports of meat and dairy products from that part of the world. Now, how will the European Union react now to doing a deal with the UK that effectively creates a single health market? You know, I'm not saying it can't be done, but it will be a lot more difficult than it was previously. Plus, politically, we've seen huge changes at the European Union level as well. You know, with the problems in France at the moment with the government in Italy, will the willingness be there to perhaps work on us having a more seamless trading relationship with Britain than they had previously? You know, you would hope there'll be a bit of goodwill towards a new UK government. And certainly the outgoing Prime Minister, to his credit, would have rebuilt bridges with Europe in a way that his predecessors hadn't. So I would just put up there, as I can see potential for a solution that would allow products like Bridget's there to get back to the marketplace. But I can also see how there would be problems in that negotiation along the way as well. So I wouldn't be holding my breath and expecting it to be solved in the next couple of weeks, or indeed the next couple of months for that matter.
Well, at least you can hold your breath. There's something to maybe hold your breath about. Phelim O'Neill from the Farmers Journal, thank you very much. And Birgitta Heaton-Curtin from the Burns Smokehouse, thank you for joining us this morning on Countrywide.